Welcome to podcast recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many resources available for our online audience on our website at csoportland.org. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at csoportland.org. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living. For more information, visit csoportland.org.
Welcome to Portland Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Bridget McCann. My pronouns are she and her. I am the Senior Minister and Spiritual Director here at the Center, and I am so happy to see all of you. And welcome to those who join us in our virtual community space as well. You are a part of us. I gave this talk, some of you might remember, 2 years ago when I was here candidating for this position. And I decided to give the same talk today, because now I know how very true it is. And I don't want you to ever forget that you are a prayer answered. Every single one of us plays this role in life. We answer each other's prayers. And sometimes we don't even know we're doing it. In the fall of 2019, I started my ministerial education. And my very first class was Metaphysical Bible. Now, I did not own a Bible, which won't surprise you when you hear the end of this talk, but I did not own a Bible, so I went out and bought the Bible that was recommended in the syllabus. And that syllabus also indicated that there was a reading assignment we were to do before our first class. So a few days before that class, I sit down, I grab that nice, fresh, crisp Bible, and I open it, and a little tear comes to my eyes. I sit back in my chair and I take a deep breath. A few more tears come. Because in that moment, I felt my mother's presence right here over my right shoulder. She had made her transition and passed on many years before in December of 2000. And after her death, I stayed for a couple weeks in her home, and one day I was going through her belongings, and I found some journals that I actually never knew she had kept. And it turns out they were prayer journals. And as I went through them, I learned that my mother had prayed over and over and over for many years that one of her four sons would be called into the Catholic priesthood. I am not her son, and I'm most definitely not a Catholic priest. But she came to me in that moment in 2019 to let me know that I was indeed finally the answer to her prayers. And we all do this for each other. If you have been an AA or NA sponsor, you've been a prayer answer. If you have taught a child struggling in school how to read, you have been a prayer answer. If you have taken a few moments to stop and actually have a conversation with the unhoused neighbor, maybe even give them a hug, you've been a prayer answered. And we do this in the collective as well. You, this community, Portland Center for Spiritual Living, have been the prayer answered for many people for many years. If you've been on this platform as a practitioner or a guest speaker, minister, or a musician or singer, and you helped somebody, many people probably remember the essence of who they are, you've been a prayer answered for those people, and you might not even have known it. If you've welcomed newcomers into this community and helped them feel seen and heard, you quite likely answered their prayers without knowing it. And this teaching, our teaching, the science of mind and spirit, is a prayer answered for many people around the world. It is a prayer answered for those who feel beat up or beat down by old school religiosity that is based in fear and control. It's a prayer answered, this teaching, for those who feel unworthy because of what they've done or what has been done to them. And it's a prayer answered for those who have been perhaps kicked out of their previous spiritual community or maybe even their homes because of who they are and who they love. This work of answering each other's prayers, we do it all the time because it's the way the universe is made. This is how God's love gets into the world. In fact, many Kabbalists, and Kabbalah is the mystical aspect of Judaism, many Kabbalists teach that God needs us humans to help mend the world through our loving actions. So each one of us, including each and every one of you, you are that universal love in the world. From our Declaration of Principles as a Center for Spiritual Living, we believe in the individualization of the spirit in us and that all people are individualizations of the one spirit. This is one of those bedrock principles on which we stand. So I want to read it again, a little slower, and really let it sink in what this means. We believe, meaning we know it is capital T truth. We believe in the individualization of the spirit in us. And that all people are individualizations of the one spirit. This means that while we are each so beautifully unique, we are also inextricably linked. We can't get away from each other if we wanted to. And it also means that we are the spirit. We are God made manifest. It chooses to express through its creation as us. So this is the only way God's love can get into the world. We are the vessels. Because as Adam Jidwitz put it, it's because God does not work like poof. God works through people like you. It's a strange way to run the world. It is mysterious and it is full of wonder and it is endlessly maddening. But it is true. It's how the universe works. And we cannot destroy this ability to be love in action. No matter what we do, no matter what's been done to us, no matter how many times we go astray, we cannot destroy this inherent ability we have to be God's love in the universe, to answer each other's prayers. But we can cultivate it to an even fuller expression. We can cultivate this ability through our prayers of surrender. A prayer that is not asking for anything for ourselves, but a prayer that is simply surrendering to the Spirit and what it wants to do through us. A prayer of surrender that says, use me. Let me be your hands, your feet, your mind, your heart. Let me be your eyes and ears and mouth. Use me. This is surrender at its best. And when we do this, we open ourselves up to that intuition. Now, intuition is nothing less than the voice of God in each one of us. When we pray to surrender and we open up to the intuition, we will be led to what is ours to do. As our Muslim friends put it, you are the person Allah is preparing as the answer to someone's prayer. Just have to surrender and listen. We would also do well to remember that in the heart and mind of spirit, there's no big and no small. It all matters. All of it matters. And every single person's prayer is worthy of being answered, no matter how big or small it might be. From our founder, Ernest Holmes. Comparatives do not belong to the universe. They are merely differentiations in our own mind. Dropping them completely out of our thought, we contemplate neither the big nor the little, but the thing itself taking particular form. And as Edward Everett Hale put it, I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything. But I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. What I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. Perhaps you've heard the parable of the man sitting on the curb in absolute despair over all the pain and suffering in the world. His head hung low, crying, and finally he just shouts into the emptiness, God, why don't you do something? To which he hears, I did. I sent you. If it speaks to your heart, if it pulls at your soul, it might just be what you are called to do, to answer someone's prayer, whether you know it or not, that is what you are doing. Now, we can also remember, as we've heard many times in many teachings, God works in mysterious ways, right? Sometimes we're like, whoa, didn't see that coming. Again, from Islam, you know, they have 99 names for Allah. One of them is Al-Latif, the subtle one. And Albert Einstein said, coincidence is just God's way of remaining anonymous. So, God works in mysterious ways. And part of our job is to let it do what it does in its way. Or as I've sometimes put it, it's none of our business to tell God how to do its business. So when we teach affirmative prayer around here, it has 5 steps. None of those steps involve scripting it all out. This is going to happen, then this is going to happen, and then this person will do this, and then da-da-da-da. No. Don't do any of that. We just simply claim and name our good, give thanks for it, and we give it back to the universe. Why is this? Why don't we script it out? Because that transcendent aspect of spirit knows a lot more about what's going on than we do. And it is infinite intelligence. It has no limitations. It sees the big picture better than we do. It knows all the many ways we are connected better than we do. Our job is to just let ourselves be part of the mystery. Which takes me back to that story about me and my mom. It is quite mysterious that I am the one that ended up in this kind of role, because I was the child out of her 7 that fought her at every turn, insisting that science was superior to spirituality. I was the child that resisted, tried to refuse to go to church, and when dragged to church, refused to go through the motions. And if you were raised Catholic, you know what I mean. Sit down, stand up, kneel, sit, kneel. I refused to do it. I would just sit there. Like, you can make me go to church, but you can't make me kneel. And I was the child who, after I left my mother's home for many years, did not step foot in any kind of church except for weddings and funerals. But it happened. And it happened because I found this teaching, the science of mind, a spiritual teaching and a spiritual philosophy that did not expect me to check my brain at the door, that welcomed the hard questions, that never said and will never say, we are the one true religion, all the rest of you got it wrong. And we have nothing to do with hell and damnation and original sin. I'm like, oh, well, this is different. I think I'll go again and again and again. And before you know it, I'm taking classes. And before I even kind of knew it, I was becoming a practitioner. And it was when I was becoming a practitioner that I started feeling this tug at my heart. I think I'm supposed to be doing something else now. Now, at that time, I was an attorney, working mostly with immigrant families, helping immigrant children get legal status in this country. Very meaningful, very satisfying work. And yet, I think there's something different that I'm supposed to be doing. So I prayed, and I prayed. I prayed for a long time because I was determined that I would not die with my song still in me. And then I was at a meditation retreat. I received a message, a calling for ministry. I did not see that coming. I had never given it a thought. And I cried in the same instant I received the message. I cried and I said no. In fact, I'm pretty sure I said, hell no. I am not doing that. I'm not going back to school. I already have more than enough degrees. I'm not going back to school. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the money. I'm not doing it. But like all true callings, it doesn't leave you alone. So finally, I surrendered. I said, yes, I will do this thing you want me to do. Because I knew it was the answer to my prayers. But it wasn't until that moment, in 2019, when I opened that Bible, that I knew I was the answer to my mother's prayer. This is what we do for each other in really strange and mysterious ways. This is what you do for each other. This is what you have done for me many times since I've been here. Without knowing it, many of you have sent encouraging text messages, or phone messages, or emails just when I needed it. And I wouldn't change a thing, you guys, because it led me here to you. And so please, if you ever doubt, if you ever start thinking and believing that you don't matter, that you don't make a difference, remember, you are the answer to someone's prayer, whether you know it or not. You have been, and you will be again. So just keep being you. Keep answering prayers. Keep mending the world. Because God needs you. And so it is. Thank you.
Reverend Bridget, thank you so much for that heartfelt, wonderful talk. I had forgotten most of it if I've heard it before, but I totally enjoyed hearing it again. And so lovely to hear about your journey, and I know you're already on more of a journey. So this is our time for sacred giving. Oh, and by the way, Reverend Bridget will be also saying a little bit more later, so don't run away. Thank you so much for your gracious giving. Your financial gifts enable us to be together in this beautiful space, enjoy our wonderful music, be inclusive of our spiritual community participating virtually, and to support community nonprofits. They allow this powerful teaching to be known so we can continue to grow and be an expression of spirit in the world. Now I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward with a basket to collect your gifts. If you like, you can use an envelope provided in the seat backs. We welcome financial donations from our spiritual community participating virtually and everyone anytime online as well. You can contribute at cslportland.org under the Donate tab. You can also find a QR code and a text to give information in your Sunday program. So now let's go ahead and do our blessing as a call and response. I bless these sacred gifts. Given graciously with love. These gifts bless, heal, and prosper all they touch. In giving, I am grateful to be richly, lavishly, and abundantly blessed. And so it is. And now our musicians will honor us again.
Ooh, yeah.
Here we go. Nana, give a little bit, give a little bit of your love to me. I'll give a little bit, give a little bit of my love to you. There's so much that we need to share, so send a smile and show you care. Give a little bit, give a little bit of my life for you. So give a little bit, give a little bit of your time to me. See the man with the lonely eyes, I'll take his hand, you'll be surprised. Woo. Come along.
So, of course, I have a few parting thoughts. And I want to clarify a few things. I've heard in the last week a lot of chatter, a lot of rumors, a lot of confusion. So I want to clarify a few things. I am not leaving because I have another position somewhere. I don't have another position somewhere. I've not been offered another position. I have not applied for or looked for another position. Nothing like that. So you can just set that aside. Okay. But I do want to clarify a little bit about why I am leaving. And I'm sure the board will share more about this next week with you at the town hall. But we've mentioned a few times that late last year we did some very detailed financial analysis. And I'm clarifying this because, again, I'm hearing a lot of chatter that is not correct. So I want to try to clarify it, kind of set the record straight. We did some detailed financial analysis last year, found that we were operating at a pretty big deficit in the operating account, the general fund. That's the fund we use to pay all the bills, okay? My salary, all the payroll, the mortgage, the interest, insurance, you know, all the bills. And we were operating at a pretty significant deficit. We kept going back and did that analysis all the way back through 2019 and discovered that the center has been operating at a deficit since at least 2019, which means drawing on cash reserves, and those reserves were going down each year. So we resolved as a board, this is not going to happen again. We are going to right this ship. But that necessitated some very difficult decisions to balance the budget. One of those decisions was to not renew the letter of call or employment contract for the staff minister, Reverend Marilyn, as director of education. And also, please know that when we did this analysis of the finances, we realized that the Department of Education itself had been operating at a deficit all those years, meaning it never brought in enough revenue, unfortunately, to cover her salary. So we made a very difficult decision to not renew her contract on March 1st of this year, when that contract was to come up for renewal. We didn't like it, we didn't want to do it, but the board felt that's what we had to do. So we ended last year believing that this year we would finally, hopefully, at least have a chance of having a truly balanced budget and not running a deficit. It would be a financially stable year. A few people were very upset about this decision around Reverend Marilyn and started spreading their upset in the community. With the result that instead of this being a financially stable year, attendance has gone down, I'm sure you've noticed, but also donations have gone down. So instead of being a stable year, we're still operating at a deficit. I realized that I could not, in good conscience, continue to draw my monthly salary, which is the biggest line item in the budget. I could not continue to draw my financial or my salary each month with this financial situation. I will not stay until there is no money left in the bank. That would be irresponsible, and I won't do it. So I instead decided to resign now while there is still some money in the bank. As Debbie mentioned, don't worry. There's enough money in the bank you could pay the bills, okay? But I am leaving to create some breathing space without the burden of my salary, so you at least have a little bit of time to figure out what you want to do. Again, I will not stay until the bitter end and then get up on this platform and say, well, it's nice knowing you all. There's $500 left in the bank. Good luck with that. I will not do that. That is why I'm leaving while there is still some cash reserves, so you can figure out what you want to do next. Now, also in this time, the last couple months, I've done some self-reflection, thought about what I did well and what I could have done better. I'm proud of much of the work I've done, our Sunday services, the Sunday talks, our small groups, our rituals, our community involvement, all these things, our special services. I'm proud of that work. I do wish that I had asked the hard financial questions and done that detailed analysis earlier than we did. I do wish that I'd been more proactive in establishing guidelines for how we communicate directly with each other instead of gossip. I didn't do that. I didn't establish that culture. And for our practitioners, I wish I'd created a retreat for us. I mentioned it several times to Catherine, and I kept putting it off because I felt other things needed my attention. That was a mistake. I wish we had had that time together to build stronger bonds. I will continue my self-reflection, what I did well and what I can do better. My prayers for you are that you do this self-reflection. So as you decide what you're going to do next, you can know what you did well and where you can do better in whatever this next chapter is. I also pray that you release attachments. Release your attachments to the way it used to be. Release your attachments to what you used to think you wanted. And if enough of you can release your attachments, you will create an opening. An opening to all the possibilities. And in this, no doubt, you will know what is the next highest and best for all of you as a community. And lastly, I pray for all of you that you continue your spiritual journey. No matter what happens here, don't give up your spiritual journey. And this teaching, it's too powerful. It's too life-changing. Don't give it up. My prayer is that you stay on your individual spiritual path, no matter what happens. And if you ever feel lonely, if you ever feel unseen, unheard, please remember, you are cherished, you are loved, and you matter. Always, no matter what. I love you. Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org /donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.